Comey waits for the 3-2. Here it is. A swing and a high fly ball left center field. He's going to join the 500 club. Eyes on the run. He's at the track. He's at the fence. Leaps. Makes the catch.
Yes.
He took away a home run. Wow. What a play. Ramirez has it. Throws. Burley picks the perfect game. People going crazy here at U.S. Senator. He's mobbed by his teammates. A perfecto.
White Sox. White Sox.
White Sox Weekly, the official weekly talk show covering all things White Sox baseball. The latest news and views from players, coaches, and direct from the front office. White Sox Weekly on the proud new home for Chicago White Sox baseball, 89 WLS.
So welcome into White Sox Weekly. My name's Connor McKnight, and you got me for the next season of White Sox baseball, and I could not be more excited about it. A big thanks to Peter Bolger and Peter Bowen for starting me out on White Sox Weekly this Saturday. Pretty big Saturday for news, at least in the world of free agency. Yoenis Cespedes signing late last night with the Mets, reportedly for a crazy deal. I know, White Sox fans, you've been hearing it for quite some time, whether Yoenis Cespedes was going to be a guy that you could add to the lineup. I think there's pros and cons for the biggest news in baseball going on this weekend. We'll get to that in a little bit. We'll get to plenty more, too. We got a big plan for you on the first Saturday of White Sox baseball for me and with you guys. Want to get you involved in the show, of course, and always. 312-591-8900 is the phone number here on White Sox Weekly. You can text us as well. You can text at 68683. Just include WLSAM in the message for us, will you? Appreciate that. You can tweet us too, of course, the station at WLSAM890. And you can tweet me. I promise you tweet me and we will get your question or your thought, your comment on White Sox Weekly this afternoon. You can follow me on Twitter at C1McKnight. At C1McKnight is the new Twitter handle. It's only the third one in 2 years. It's fine. Things are absolutely fine there. Excited to do this with you and want to let you know first and foremost that we, the station, WLS, we're all going to be out at Sox Fest coming up next weekend. It starts the 29th. Jazzed about going out there. Plenty of stuff to go do. And there are still ways to get there. The Saturday passes are sold out. Okay, so the Saturday only, you can't go. But 2 day Saturday and Sunday pass, those are still available for you. There's plenty of things to do out there on Saturday and Sunday. You can get the Saturday only pass as well. Plenty of players, both current and former, are going to be out there for you to talk to, get autographs from, talk a little baseball with. We'll be out there as well. Prospects are going to be there. Yes, White Sox fans. Tim Anderson is going to be out there for you at Sox Fest. Maybe you'll see him as soon as spring training, too. But your first time to see him, Sox Fest 2016 out there at the Hilton. So you want to get out there. Go to whitesox.com/SoxFest to get your tickets for this year's event downtown Chicago at the Hilton, 29th through the 31st. We're doing a couple of things out there, too, WLS is, and we're going to have a couple broadcasts for you. Friday from 6 to 8 p.m., first day of Sox Fest, right after things have opened up there at the Hilton. We're going to be hosting the show. We'll have plenty of Sox players and coaches and stuff kind of wandering through and sitting down with us and talking Sox baseball. Saturday from noon until 2, we'll be out there as well at Sox Fest. And then Sunday from 1 to 3. The Saturday and Sunday broadcasts are, I think, going to be fun ones. Steve Dahl is going to hang out with us at some point during the noon and 2 broadcast on Saturday. And then John Howell is going to be there for the Sunday broadcast too. So you get the big names of 89 WLS out there hanging out and talking White Sox with you. We couldn't be happier to bring you White Sox baseball this season. Think it's going to be a good one, too. Think it's going to be a good one, and I got a couple reasons for you why. We got a couple of things. Let's see, what else do we need to do here just to start the show? Oh, yeah, I forgot. Robin Ventura, manager of the White Sox, is going to join us just after the 12:30 news. So you want to stick around for that. We'll talk to Robin about the new guys on his squad. You got a couple of big additions in Brett Lowry, and you got a couple of big additions in Todd Frazier, you know, manning that infield. And, of course, you know, I'm fascinated in what happened last night. I'm fascinated in what's going to happen in the corners for the White Sox outfield. And then the shortstop situation is kind of an interesting one, too. You got a couple of guys with plenty of glove, and which ones Robin thinks, you know, has a chance to be, you know, step up to that next level at the plate and kind of take advantage of a situation that lends itself to some PT for some young players. So let's get into it. 312-591-8900 is the phone number here, White Sox Weekly. Like I said, Robin Ventura going to join us just after the 12:30 news. Let's head out to the phone lines now. Might as well. We've got him up on the line. In Burbank, it's Chuck. What's up, Chuck? Welcome to White Sox Weekly.
Hey, Connor, first of all, congratulations.
Oh, thanks, man.
I just want to know, who do you think is the best center fielder in Chicago? Because, you know, a lot of the cops say Adam Eaton might be as good as Jason Hayward.
A lot of the cops?
Comps.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking to a bunch of police officers here in town, and they were evaluating the differences between Jason Hayward and Adam Eaton for you, which would have been a pretty cool story, to be honest.
No, I'm a sabermetric.
Fair enough. All right, Chuck. Well, I'll tell you what. Adam Eaton's had one heck of a second half to the season. Actually, you know what? I wrote it down on the notes because you talking defensively? You want the defense or you want the offense?
Overall player, which, I mean, you know, defense just as important as offense.
Yeah, no doubt about it, and especially in center field. You know, I think Jason Hayward will have a nice season for the Cubs. I think he fits into that lineup well. I think what Adam Eaton did in the second half of last season, especially at the bat, look, there's no doubt about it, Chuck, the first month, 2 months for Adam, and he talked about it. He talked about it a ton with reporters and with the show and everything. He, you know, pressed a little bit. He held the bat a little too tight. In the second half, though, you know, he hit .335. His on base was .418, and he even slugged .486. And like a Luke Collins in Little Big League, .510, and slugging for power. I like that out of a center fielder. I think defensively, he stands to be a little bit better than last season. And I think what's pretty interesting is, you know, in baseball, we have this idea that, you know, your performance at the plate can, you know, we allow that to fluctuate. You know what I mean, Chuck? Like, we understand that as good a season as Yoenis Cespedes had, like a 7.2 WAR offensively, and his contributions offensively to the Mets, you can't pencil him in for that next year. Or the same with Bryce Harper. Like, you can't pencil in 9 wins above replacement next season or 45 home runs next season, but you can do something close to it. You know, we allow for fluctuation at the plate. I think we also need to allow, maybe to a lesser degree, but at least somewhat, that there's fluctuations defensively too. You know, guys have good years and guys have, you know, some bad years out in center field too, or in other places. I think Eaton can be a better center fielder than he was last year defensively. And I think that starts, first and foremost, I think that starts with getting better reads on the ball. And I think that comes. I think that absolutely comes for him. I don't know if that answers the question, but that's kind of where I'm feeling it.
All right, great. Thanks, Connor.
Chuck, you're a good man. Appreciate you calling in. 312-591-8900, the phone number here on White Sox Weekly. Robin Ventura going to join us just after the 12:30 news. We'll talk, we'll ask him about the Adam Eaton question, too, and what he expects from his center fielder defensively. Want to get you involved in the show? You got the number. You can tweet us at C1McKnight. Big news last night, and really kind of the big news of the offseason as it pertains to the White Sox, is exactly how that free agent class was going to shake out and if the White Sox were going to go shopping. Turns out Yoenis Cespedes is going to stay a Met, and the circumstances by which he's staying a Met are pretty interesting ones. He did what all the cool kids are doing and took the opt-out in his contract, so we'll talk a little bit about that. I'm kind of fascinated by how, you know, this offseason has gone, especially with, you know, with free agent hitters and the contracts and the way that they're signing contracts and the way that they're being added to these teams are going. Kind of a fun little conversation there. We'll see what's next, you know, because baseball season's still going to happen, and they're going to have somebody in the corners for the White Sox. So we're going to find out what's next, too. We'll talk about all that coming up. White Sox Weekly, 312-591-8900 is the phone number right here on WLS AM 890.
Passion, pride, tradition. Starting in 2016, the White Sox play here. 89 WLS.
Cespedes 2-on-2 with a couple of runs scored. And that ball is absolutely scorched to left. 3-run shot. And the Mets have blown it open.
Waiting on a 2-2 from Greinke.
That's in the air to right and pretty well hit. Ethier goes back to the track, leaping, and that ball is gone. Yoenis Cespedes has given the New York Mets the game 2 lead.
Big news last night in baseball, and it was a player that the White Sox have been connected to a little bit, so I figured we'd talk about him some here on White Sox Weekly. I think the biggest question here is what's next? You know, what's next for the Chicago White Sox, and how do they build out that lineup, and what's best, I think, too? What's best for this team? 312-591-8900 is the phone number here on White Sox Weekly. I'm Connor McKnight, going to be hosting pre and post this year here on WLS, and of course, hosting White Sox Weekly as well. Happy to take phone calls, and you can do the whole Twitter thing, too. At C1 McKnight is the new Twitter handle, and I promise you, you throw the Twitter thing out there. You want to do a couple of questions that way? Happy to do it. Happy to answer some of the questions there. First one that got thrown at was congrats. And I thank you. I really appreciate that. I'm looking forward to the season. What does Ranji think about that? I hung out with him last night. He's happy for me. He also thought that we should, you know, grab another beer. But that's neither here nor there. You can text as well. 68683 is the number that you can text as well. Please include WLSAM. In the message there as well. Want to talk about the UNS Espidus news. I find a couple things interesting. And there's one thing about it where, and I get that, I get where the fit was for the White Sox and for other outfielders too. I think there are other ways to make this lineup better. And there's this kind of, I don't want to call it a myth, but there's a narrative around Yoenis Cespedes that's just, it's got so much momentum that it's almost impossible to stand up to. And I'm going to do my best to stand up to it because I just don't quite see where it's... Well, I'll explain it a little bit. We got a phone call out there. 312-591-8900 is the phone number. In Hoffman Estates, it's Mike. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Connor. Congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate it, man.
I wanted to talk about the pitching staff. I'm actually hearing a lot of positive hype about the staff. I'm hearing that that's something that the White Sox are going to be able to lean on, and that's why they're going to be able to contend. And I question that as a White Sox fan. I don't really see it. I know we're paying John Danks $15 million to get a starter.
Sure.
And there's a lot of unproven things. I understand there's a lot of questions going into any season, but to really sit there and go, now this is the year for this pitching staff, seems a little bit too ridiculous.
Well, Mike, you know, it's interesting that you bring it up that way because, you know, you've got an AL Cy Young contender, a perennial one in Chris Sale. I cannot tell you, and you know it, Mike. You've watched enough White Sox baseball. I know you. You've seen Chris Sale put together some serious stuff. And the, you know, the questions around him being healthy early on in his career, he's essentially proven, you know, he can do exactly what he's been doing. The strikeouts are gigantic. The quality starts are there. I like Carlos Rodon. I think that guy is going to be where you see the step up in this rotation next season. I think that's where you see kind of this, you know, if you're hearing about the unbridled potential of a White Sox starting pitching staff, I think Carlos is a guy that you kind of look to and go, well, that's where the improvement comes from. Uh-huh. I think Carlos, and it was down there in spring training last season, and I think part of the, or most of the conversation around him prior to his being called up a little bit later in the year was about fastball command and whether or not he could rein in, you know, 95, 96 and put it over the plate as opposed to, you know, throwing a little bit harder, maybe gassing himself a little bit and walking guys and putting too many people on. I think you saw that early on in spring training with him. I think you saw, you know, when he struggled, I think that part of his game, that part of, you know, fastball command, fastball location. And you heard Don Cooper say it over and over again, if Carlos didn't have a decent outing or a good enough outing, it was about fastball command. Now, you've also seen what that slider can do, which is just absolutely wipe people away. And when the fastball command is on, when the rotation or when his delivery has, you know, has that kind of click to it, you know, you've seen the punch outs come from him as well. Uh-huh. I think you do, Mike, I think you could do a lot worse than the White Sox starting staff up and down baseball. I think that is a place where you can lean some. And I think in a lot of ways, you know, maybe one of the more frustrating things to watch in baseball is starting pitching go to waste, you know, good starting pitching go to waste. And I think that's why you saw the White Sox get out there and get a guy like Todd Frazier and get a guy like Brett Lurie. You had to improve that infield some, and especially with the departure of Alexi Ramirez, you were looking to improve that infield, and you got some power in Todd Frazier. You got some serious power. So, you know, pairing that with Jose Abreu, looking around at the young core that this team possesses, I think the White Sox starting staff is absolutely where you lean on and where you know that you're going to be good, probably as good as anybody else you're going to go up against in that division.
Yeah, and the fact that Chris Sale is so cheap. And
oh, my God.
These are the years where you really just need – I mean, otherwise, you're just wasting innings. If he doesn't get to pitch in the playoffs, you might as well trade him. I mean, he's that cheap. So I guess it's either support him with some offense or kind of just completely rebuild without Sale.
Yeah, and I think that's where – Mike, appreciate the phone call, man, really do. I think that's where you see some of the push here. I think that's where you see some of the push. That starting staff and really that young core all throughout. You look at – and I'll scroll over to find exactly what it is here. But you look at exactly where, you know, Jose Abreu's contract lies given where he sits in the tiers of mashing, mauling, crushing first baseman, right? I mean, $11 million this year, $12 million next year, $13 and $13 million. You just saw Yoenis Cespedes get what is essentially, and we'll talk about it a little bit here, essentially a one-year, $27.5 million deal. He got a three-year deal to stay with the Mets, a team that he wanted to be with, a team that, you know, the more and more you read, it's a team that he was never really going to leave. You know, you take that for what you will, but that's what the reports are coming out and saying. I tend to think that with the way contracts have kind of worked out this offseason, I think it's really interesting to see guys like Justin Upton, guys like Jason Hayward, guys, you know, sign for the position players. I'm just sticking with the position players mostly. Guys get these kind of opt-outs so early on in these contracts. And I think that's a way for teams to kind of mitigate the long-term deals. You know, the we're going to pay Miguel Cabrera $35 million still when he's, you know, 38 years old. That's going to hurt later on. Now, you win a title, and I think, you know, it kind of mitigates the disaster of what a 38-year-old Miguel Cabrera could possibly look like. There's no doubt, and Mike pegged it kind of right on the head there, there's no doubt that, you know, Chris Sale's contract lets you do a lot of interesting and creative things. There's no doubt, you know, because of the team control that you've got attached to what is, you know, essentially a top three starter in the game. I'm just kind of going through that in my head. Definitely a top three left-hander, most likely a top five starter. I understand that you can make arguments here, there, and another way, but I, you know, for my money, I'll take Chris against just about anybody in this game. And then the rest of this rotation too. I mean, Jose Quintana is a steal of a deal. And if you haven't read, it was a really good piece out there too, from JJ Stankiewicz at csnchicago.com, wrote a really good piece on Jose Quintana and exactly where his, I mean, he's just been hit with so many no decisions over the last 2-3 years. It's kind of incredible. It's kind of incredible to look at that guy. And maybe you don't think, maybe you're a White Sox fan thinking, oh, it's, you know, it's Jose out there today. We'll head out to the ballpark and watch ourselves a little baseball. And you know you're getting a good game from Jose. But maybe you haven't noticed just how good. I don't know, from time to time, maybe you go out there and you're like, oh, yeah, it's going to be a really nice game. It's Jose on the mound. I think you've seen better than you even thought. You know, so check out the piece. It's a good one. Actually, White Sox has some pretty good guys covering this beat here, too. So you can we'll move those things around. And we'll talk on the White Sox Weekly. We'll talk to a lot of people that have covered this team and will cover this team next season and get their input on it, too. I mentioned earlier before the phone call with Mike, there's this narrative that's kind of driven a lot with Cespedes over the last handful of years, or over the last handful of months is what I meant to say, that, you know, he went from, when he came over to the Mets were the worst offense in the game. I there's a lot of, you know, measures and metrics that you can apply to it. I think, and then all of a sudden he arrived with the Mets and they were the best offense in baseball. I think there's a couple of things to remember there. And I understand the pressure of making a playoff run. I get that, you know, you wanted to add, you know, if you're that Mets team, then, you know, you've got a young rotation, you're looking to add for, you know, for the future as well, or, you know, it's a buy now kind of scenario. I get all that kind of weighing and measuring, but you got to remember that not only did the Mets get Cespedes at that time, Travis d'Arnaud came back right about the same time. David Wright came back right about the same time. Michael Conforto got called up, I think, 6 days. I think he came up on the 24th of July and played in a two, three games before the deadline, before Yo came over to the Mets. Not only did they add Cespedes, but they added those three players as well. They added those three guys to an offense that was, I mean, the placeholders for them last year were so miserable that you couldn't help. I mean, you didn't get David Wright back. I mean, David Wright was still hurt. He didn't have a David Wright type of season in the 2 months at the end of last year. But he was a heck of a lot better than what they had going. You know, and I think when you look at, you know, where this White Sox offense was last season and kind of, you know, some of the struggles that the bats had, that's why you've seen the offseason you have. You know, that's why you've seen a press to go get Todd Frazier, you know, even though he comes with, you know, a little bit of the on-base warp. But 35 home runs is, that's power that you absolutely didn't have elsewhere. I mean, that offense is going to look, I mean, it ought to look so much better than last season by the same way, by the same measure that that the Mets kind of improved in the last 2 months of last year as well. Not to mention the fact that, I mean, yeah, you got some great pitching from the Mets and all those young guys. I mean, we just talked about it with Mike. You go Sale, Quintana, Carlos, John Danks, and Ed Eric Johnson into the mix. And if he comes up to be, Tom Verducci of SI.com and a couple other places wrote about Eric as a can't-miss prospect, and he'd had the hype, and it's been unfortunate what happened in the last two seasons, but if you can reclaim some of that guy's potential and power, I think that rotation looks pretty good, and an offense to support it looks like you'd be on track too. Want to talk to Robin Ventura, manager of the White Sox, about who he thinks could be next for his club and where he thinks the offense sits now. He's got to be at Sox Fest coming up on the 29th, just like we here at WLS will be as well. You're listening to White Sox Weekly, 312-591-8900. We'll take a couple of phone calls after Robin. News in a couple minutes. Robin Ventura joins us up after that. WLS 890.
Tune in to 89 WLS for award-winning news, traffic, and weather updates at the top and bottom of every hour, every day. 89 WLS.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. I'm Connor McKnight. We have the pleasure of being joined by White Sox manager Robin Ventura this afternoon on the weekend before Sox Fest 2016. Robin, thanks for jumping on the phone, spending a little time with us this afternoon. How you doing?
Oh, good. Glad to be on.
Glad to have you. Let's get into it, my man. I need the specifics. I got to know exactly what happened. What does a Robin Ventura offseason look like? What have I interrupted you from doing this afternoon? And what are you going to go back to once we stop talking a little White Sox baseball here? I'm fascinated.
You're fascinated by that?
Well, I got to know. I got to know.
A lot of cleanup today. There's a bad weather all around the country, so there's a little cleanup going on here for me today.
So you're like out in the yard pushing the shovel and stuff?
Yeah, there's, you know, you get some rain out here. We haven't gotten that much of it, so you got to clean it up.
Sure, fair enough. No, you got to make sure the yard looks spick and span. I mean, It's a keeping up with the Joneses kind of thing, right?
No, I'm out in the country a little bit, so it's a little messy right now. So you got to make sure the water's going the right way, and pushing the shovel around is about the right description.
I got you. You got land to tow. You got to make sure it stays tip top.
Tractor day.
This is huge. All right, what are you running? Yeah. What are you pushing? Is it John Deere?
Yeah, we got a John Deere out here. Nice. Just pushing some stuff around.
Perfect. What does an off season for you entail when it comes to some of the free agent stuff? I mean, are you having to track down Rick Hahn and begging him for things? Are you demanding things? are you pounding on the table? Or are you more laid back? I imagine it's kind of the latter.
We have a lot of discussions. The time that it starts, I mean, even at the end of last year, you're talking about, you know, people that are, depending on where they're at with controllable guys and who's not controllable, who's coming back, who's going to be available in free agency. I think even when we head into the winter meetings, you're going in there with, you know, some ideas. We kind of look at our team and you give it a pretty blunt assessment of, you know, what you think you need and who you think you can get. So I think once you start targeting guys, and Todd Frazier was one of them. You know, when you start hearing about it, he's available, you know, we gave up some pieces to be able to get him, but you're not going to get players of his quality without giving up a good piece. It just doesn't happen anymore. So, you know, a lot of it's just discussions of where we're at, you know, what we think we can fill our needs with. And you know, you're not going to get everything that you want, but, you know, you're trying to have a priority, and Todd became a priority.
What do you like most about Todd Frazier's game? He's mentioned a couple of times that that having you, former third baseman, is going to be helpful going into this season. What do you like most?
Well, I think I think the last couple of years we haven't seen too much of him. You see him in spring training, you might see a highlight here or there. But last year we played the Reds, and you know he's just a smart player. I think you see little things that he does that I think go unnoticed. He's a really good base runner, can steal some bases if you're not paying attention to him. He's a good third baseman. You see him move around and do little things that, you know, most people probably don't notice that he's moving in, moving out of his position at third base. And anybody that's trying to take advantage of, you know, either a bunt or positioning, he's just on that. Tremendous power. And I think that's, you know, an area that we needed to improve in. We haven't really been able to hit it out of the park on a regular basis. And I think he gives us that.
Talking with White Sox manager Robin Ventura here on White Sox Weekly, WLS AM 890. I'm Connor McKnight. Robin, you know, there's another addition too. Brett Laurie is a guy that you're going to slide in. I know it's been talked about some, but when you have a guy like Brett who plays two positions pretty well and a third if you had to in a pinch, does it get, you know, do you start kind of looking around going, man, I can do anything I want with this guy. I can move. I mean, how much of a weapon is that for you?
Well, it's, a definite thing that you sit there and you look at that you can move some people around if you need to. And there always becomes a point, you know, during the season where guys have to move around and you have to have some flexibility with some guys that can play different positions and be able to move them around. And I think, you know, you add guys like Brett that can play both sides of second base. And, you know, I think it just becomes a value for your team that if something happens in the middle of the game, you still have a quality guy that you can move around and can hold down a position. You know, I think, you know, for a couple of years now, we haven't really had a whole lot of flexibility in guys that play a lot of different positions. You know, they play one position, but we haven't had that versatility that Brett brings us.
When you see that Alexi Ramirez heads out to San Diego, I know there were a lot of White Sox fans. I know there was still some optimism that, you know, maybe he'd find his way back to the Sox, but it'd be kind of an interesting situation if he did. That kid played so well when he came up and continued to play well at shortstop, just infinite kinds of range and all that kind of talent. What do you remember most about kind of that the Alexi era at short?
Well, I know the one thing, you know, that goes really unnoticed is his durability. I mean, he played every day. He came to the park every day, wanted to play. Not built like a guy that you think would be able to withstand that many games in a row and you know, go to the post every day. But really had the ability to play consistently every day and come to the ballpark, you know, knowing that he was playing.
Who takes the mantle for him? I know a lot of Sox fans were interested to see what happens in the outfield, but I think the shortstop situation is an interesting one, too. A lot of guys with a lot of glove.
It is. And you know, right now I'd say Tyler's probably the front runner of that, of being able to do that. We know he can play there. He also has some versatility that he can play, you know, elsewhere. He's played a lot of third base for us, holding that down when he first came up. So there, right now I'd say Tyler's, you know, the front runner for that. And you see when you go to camp of how Timmy's doing, you know, that we've gotten some great reports on him of how far he's improved. But, you know, that's the stuff in the off season when you're sitting there and people, you know, a lot of people were calling about Timmy, and you really don't want to give up on something like that because he's a special player.
Obviously, you're talking about Tim Anderson, one of the Sox top prospects there. I mean, I like, you know, I'm gonna say this for fans, for baseball fans, and I'm gonna kind of spoil one of the tricks. When a prospect like that starts to get kind of the nickname from the manager, it's usually a good sign.
Well, I mean, he's improved so fast, and I think everybody in the organization's, you know, fairly excited to see him come up. And these guys come up at different times. He was up in camp last year, you know, kind of getting his feet wet. And you see the raw talent that's there. And every year that he plays, he improves at such a rate that, you know, you look forward to the day that you get to, you know, put him in there on a regular basis. So You know, I think us holding on to him and still being able to get Todd was a big deal for us.
Talking with White Sox manager Robin Ventura for just another minute here on White Sox Weekly. When you see Robin, and you were a player, you went through this yourself, I imagine, in a number of different circumstances. When you see guys, position players specifically, like this offseason, getting into this whole opt-out fad, you know, I don't know how closely you pay attention to the contract, but with, you know, Justin Upton and Hayward, all these, I mean, they all have these opt-outs so fast. It's kind of this trend sort of thing. What kind of goes into a player's thinking when he's got a contract on the table like that with that kind of option involved?
Well, that's a new wrinkle. You know, we didn't necessarily have those when I was playing, but it is a new wrinkle to contract. I think, you know, for players, it helps them, even for teams. I mean, if that's what it takes to get a player, you know, I think these teams are being flexible about what they can offer to be able to get a guy. And we've seen it happen throughout the league with different players that they have these opt-outs, you know, every so many years. And, you know, it can be for a variety of reasons. I think, you know, the guys probably want the opt-outs because if they overperform,
yeah,
so to speak, they feel like they can go out and get more.
And it seems like teams are being, you know, more, I don't know, flexible with the ability to pay for the current performance as opposed to post. I mean, you used to see guys like Miguel Cabrera get like the, you know, decade-long contract. Robert Pujols, even with the Angels, get that, you know, massive deal. Now it seems like teams are a little bit more willing to, I don't know if I want to call it creative because it seems to make sense, but paying for year one as opposed to paying for some of that back-end stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on who that option is. I mean,
that's true.
Player's option, it becomes a different deal. If it's the team's option, you know, they usually pay for that to be able to have those kind of options.
Robin, you know, we had a caller, last one for you. We had a caller, Mike, from Hoffman Estates call in, and I promised him I'd ask you about Adam Eaton. What, and I, you know, we got to keep our promises, I think. What was the switch flip for Adam Eaton in the second half of the season? I mean, do you remember a conversation, a day, something just kind of, I mean, because the dude just hit in the second half.
Yeah. And I think he became comfortable with what he had. And I think everybody goes into things differently, and you can say, you know, he's a fiery kid. I mean, everybody sees it. He wants to prove he's worth what we're giving him. And I think once he got that contract, he felt like he had to raise his bar and do more and do all these things. And it really took away from who he is. And that's being a real pain in the rear end for the other team. And every player gets to a point when you've struggled enough that you don't care. Like that stuff doesn't care anymore. I'm just going to play baseball. And he finally got to the point where that it wasn't a factor for him. It wasn't a thing in his subconscious that I have to prove that I'm worth all this. I'm just going to go play. And once he got to that point, I think everybody saw, you know, the type of player it is and the reason why he got the contract. So there's many conversations of trying to get him to understand that, but until it really happens for the guy, it's you know, he's sitting there pressing, trying to do things.
Yeah.
And I think he got to that point in the second half.
Robin, appreciate you jumping on. We'll let you get back to Tractor Day. I know that's a big one out there.
Yeah, it's scary out there.
Be careful, first and foremost, because we still want to see you at Sox Fest next Friday.
I'll be there.
All right.
I'll be there.
You coming in early?
Yeah, I'll be in there early next week.
Perfect. Perfect. I'll bring a tractor magazine or something. We can kind of look through what you need next.
Love it.
All right. Sounds like a plan. Robin, thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you, Connor.
You got it. Robin Ventura, White Sox manager here on White Sox Weekly with WLS. Today's Tractor Day. I think I need a tractor day in my life, to be honest with you. I don't know what in the world I'd use a tractor on or what I'd really use it for. I mean, when you think of City Boy, I think that's just kind of where I come in. But that's okay. I can learn a little bit from Robin Ventura. And I hope you did, too, in the interview. Nice of him to hop on and talk a little White Sox baseball with us. We got a little bit left here on White Sox Weekly. 312-591-8900 is the phone number. 312-591-8900. You can text as well. 68683 is the text line. Please include WLSAM. In the message, you can do the whole Twitter thing at C1 McKnight. Got a couple of Twitter responses and questions and whatnot to get through when we get back. We'll talk White Sox baseball here on WLS AM 890.
In 2016, White Sox baseball. Experience it. here, 89 WLS.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly. Final segment of the afternoon. A good first White Sox Weekly for me. We got to talk to Robin Ventura, manager of the White Sox. Talked with him a little bit about Todd Frazier and Brett Laurie as well, and just what those additions do for the rest of that lineup that rounds out. And that was, underperforming last season. I mean, Robin talked about it. They just didn't have, what did he say? He said I'm looking at Donna Bruce. I think we just didn't have the bop, I think is what he said. Yeah, and I love the bop. I love that that's like we're working that in this season. That's going to be a thing. I'm going to make sure that Robin's tractor day goes well. Appreciate him joining us. You can go hang out with Robin Ventura, too, at SoxFest 2016. Still a couple of tickets out there for you. The Saturday and Sunday passes are still available. Passes, I should say, for Saturday, both Saturday and Sunday, the combo pass sort of thing. And there's a Sunday-only pass that's available for you, too. You get to talk to tons of guys out there, guys like Robin Ventura, and Don Cooper is going to be there. Tons of players, Jose Abreu, Alex Avila, Avi Garcia, Todd Frazier is going to be there as well, and prospects and stuff, too. I also liked, and I mentioned it to Robin, when prospects get to kind of that, I'm not saying that Timmy is like a nickname, I understand that, but we're at nickname level. I like when prospects get to nickname level with managers. I think it says something for you. You can call 2-312-591-8900 or you can text the show 68683 and include WLSAM in your message. Got a couple calls we want to get to now and, of course, some questions on Twitter as well. First up is Wayne Sr. calling from Chicago. Hi, Wayne. Wayne?
Hello?
Hey.
Yes. How are you?
Good. How are you, sir?
I'm okay. I wanted to call and say congratulations. Welcome to the big leagues.
Oh, well, thanks, Wayne. I appreciate it.
I know you worked with my son at the score, right?
Is that Wayne Randazzo?
Yes.
So this is you are Mr. Randazzo.
Yes, sir.
The father of the Mets pre and post game host and former current friend of mine, but now he's in New York, so I don't get to see him as much. Well, I appreciate you calling in. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Okay, well, hopefully we'll see you in the World Series, Mets, White Sox.
That sounds like a good one to me. We'll get dinner.
All right, good luck.
All right, Mr. Randazzo, take care, man. Well, that was nice. Wayne, actually, I saw Wayne this postseason out there in New York. He's a good dude and does a great broadcast. Head out to the phone lines again. It's in Wisconsin. It's John. What's up, John?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
So a couple questions. I think the Sox payroll is only at about $112 million right now, and last year is probably $115, $120. So two thoughts. I mean, number one, do you know where they're looking to spend this year? Do they still have more money to spend? And then two, what do you think some moves are that still might lie ahead for them? I know, Colorado's still sitting out there with four guys that can start in the outfield.
Sure.
Is there still talks for Cargo or even Corey Dickerson or Blackman, all left-handed guys.
Right.
I know they want a Quintana. We certainly don't want to give them up, but is there something else that can be worked out? So just wonder if you have any thoughts on those two subjects.
Yeah, John, good call, man. Appreciate the phone call. Let me check that for you. So the opening day payroll as it sits right now, and I like COTS contracts for this kind of stuff, just between you, me, and the wall. $114 million, something like that. Last year, opening day was $118 million, less for 14, and then you had the $118 million in 2013, too. I think they're probably, payroll-wise, I think there's probably still some room here. If you weren't after, you can still be after a couple of free agents here and there. I think, personally speaking, we talked to Robin a little bit about the mix at shortstop, and while Tyler Saladino offered you some glove, I don't know necessarily that taking a stab at a guy like Ian Desmond, if he's coming on a friendly contract, I think that's maybe something you could possibly look at. I know the rumors hadn't been, all that connected to him. I know Dexter Fowler has been out there as well. I think he's a guy who offensively fits into a White Sox lineup pretty well, at least on paper. I love the on-base that Fowler gives you. Had a career high in power numbers last year with the double-digit home runs. I find it interesting, the connection to the Rockies, too. I think it's entirely possible that Carlos Gonzalez goes a little bit later in this season. I think you saw some of the reticence of trading, from from the Rockies standpoint, a little reticence in trading Troy Tulowitzki last year. I think you see, if I'm the Rockies, and this is just my opinion on the Rockies, I guess. If I'm the Rockies, I'm waiting, you know, for deadline to roll around, or if I'm waiting maybe a little bit to see, you know, because teams have just kind of settled. A lot of teams have kind of settled the outfield situation for themselves over the last couple of weeks. So I'd like a little more uncertainty in the market, and that kind of helps you if you're selling the asset some. I think that's how that works. I took econ once. It was great. You can follow on Twitter, too, at C1McKnight. This question, let's see, where did that one go? Oh, this question here. Why do you think the White Sox wouldn't go above 3 years for Cespedes? I know that was widely reported. I think you kind of saw what the market resolved itself for Cespedes to be. I mean, the Mets had to get to 27 and a half for 1 year. It's great for Cespedes. It's pretty good for the Mets, who are in a win-now situation. I think for this White Sox team, what you're going to see is, by and large, the offense around the diamond is going to rise. I mean, it's going to move up because of the additions you've made and just a better season coming around. I think they're in a decent spot now, and I think, you know, a couple tweaks here and there kind of get you to a point where you feel a little bit more comfortable heading into spring training. You got some options around too, and I think, you know, maybe next week we'll talk about it as well. You know, a little more about the situation at shortstop, a little bit at the new situation at catcher as well, and we'll get into the corner outfielders, I'm sure, too. Thanks for joining us here on White Sox Weekly. Much appreciated. My first ride, and I hope you enjoyed it. 312-591-8900. Save the number into your phone. That's the number you call for White Sox Weekly. We'll be out at Sox Fest. Our first broadcast for WLS out at Sox Fest is Friday from 6 to 8. We'll be having tons of White Sox people, personalities, and former players and coaches and all that kind of stuff all throughout the weekend, Friday 6 to 8. Saturday from noon to 2, and Sunday from 1 to 3. That's going to do it for us this afternoon.